Now I know Dr. Watson's waiting for us, so let's go in and join him.
Come in, come in, come in.
Good evening, Dr. Watson.
Good evening, Mr. Bartell. You're quite muffled up tonight, I see. Overcoat, scarf, and gloves. Slip them off and come and join me by the fire.
Thanks, Doctor. Quite a nip in the air tonight.
Yes, there is indeed.
Well, Doctor, you told us last week that tonight's story centered around the activities of a brilliant and beautiful woman.
Yes, my boy. Her name is Irene Adler. But I never knew Holmes to refer to her by any other name than the woman.
She sounds mighty intriguing. How did you happen to meet up with her?
Well, I'll tell you the story from the beginning. One night, it was on the 20th of March, 1888, to be exact, I was returning home from a visit to a patient when my steps led me through Baker Street. Since my marriage, I hadn't seen much of Sherlock Holmes and...
And you couldn't resist stopping by 221B, I'm sure, Doctor.
Of course I couldn't. As I stood outside the well-remembered door, I looked up at the lighted windows and saw the tall, spare figure of my old friend pass twice in dark silhouette against the blind. He was pacing the room swiftly, eagerly, with his head sunk on his chest and his hands clasped behind him. To me, who knew his every mood and habit, his attitude and manner told their own story. He was hot on the scent of some new problem. I rang the bell, and a few moments later, found myself standing before him.
Marriage suits you, Watson. You look in splendid shape.
Yes, I'm feeling very well, eh?
And in practice again, I see. You didn't tell me that you'd gone back into harness.
Oh, how do you know?
Elementary, my dear chap. If a gentleman walks into my rooms smelling of iodoform with a black mark of nitrate of silver on his right forefinger and a bulge on the left side of his hat to show where he has secreted his stethoscope, I should be dull indeed if I didn't pronounce him to be an active member of the medical profession.
Same as ever, Holmes. By the way, I'm not interrupting you, am I?
Yes, you are, old fellow, but it's a most welcome interruption.
You're working on a new case?
It looks like it. This letter arrived by the last post today. It's undated and has neither signature nor address. Read it.
Look. They will call upon you tonight at 7:45 a gentleman who desires to consult you upon a matter of the very deepest moment. Your recent services to one of the royal houses of Europe have shown that you are one who may safely be trusted. This account of you we have from all quarters received. Be in your chamber, then, at that hour, and do not take it amiss if your visitor wears a mask. Great Scott, it all sounds very mysterious. What do you imagine it means?
Look carefully at the note, Watson. What do you deduce from it?
Well, let's see. Well, the man who wrote it was presumably well-to-do. Such paper couldn't be bought for under 0.5 crown a packet. And it's peculiarly strong and stiff.
Peculiar. That's the very word. It's not an English paper at all. Hold it up to the light. You notice anything?
Yes. There's a large E with a small G.
Mm-hmm.
And a large G with a small T woven into the texture of the paper.
What does that suggest to you?
The name of the maker, no doubt, or perhaps his monogram.
Not at all, my dear fellow. The G with a small T stands for Gesellschaft, which is the German for company.
And the EG?
That stands for Igria. It's a German-speaking country in Bohemia, not far from Carlsbad.
So the paper was made in Bohemia?
Undoubtedly. The man who wrote the note is a German.
Well, how do you know that?
Observe the curious construction of the sentence. This account of you we have from all quarters received. A Frenchman or a Russian could not have written that. It's the German who is so discourteous to his verbs.